Okay, again, you know, like last week, we had talked about the creation gospel, this workbook two, The Seven Abominations of the Wicked Lamp. I am using this. This is Dr. Elisa Elwine's material. And so really, like I said, we're in chapter one, and chapter one is just layers of information. Amen. But if you could, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's just park there for a moment. All right, we talked about last week about these two lamps. There's a righteous lamp and there's a wicked lamp in the scriptures and the way that it is talked about. Isaiah 11 talks about the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit. And in Proverbs 6, it talks about the seven abominations, which is really what the wicked lamp is about. Hopefully, definitely, we will get to that. But before we get to that, we talked about last week the oil that talks about in our lamps. We talked about the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, and it talked about 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And, you know, the 5 foolish didn't have enough oil. They didn't carry extra oil in their flask, and the wise did. So we went through all of that, so we're not going to recap it. So if you're not wasn't here, you need to listen to that because this will make more sense today. Okay, like I said before, yeah, we do have the board. Y'all can bring that board on up here because it's got the scriptures on it. Before you can get into the book of Revelation and understand from these seals and these bowls, these spirits, the angels, what's happening with the mark of the beast. And remember, we talked about this before. On the sixth day of creation, man and beast were both created. There you go, big guy. Man. That's what I'm talking about. Let's roll this thing back here where I can see in case I forget what I put on here. I got to know where I'm going sometimes. So anyway, so I put up here last week, what kind of oil is in your tank? You know? And if it's not good oil, you need to change it. And you need to get the good oil in there. Amen? Because we need our lights to burn like the Father. Just like these songs that they were singing up here. It's doing it His way and not our way. It's what the Holy Spirit says. It's not what humanism is about. I think that we can see right now in the United States of America, if you don't, you can go beyond that if you want to. How many opinions do you think we have right now going on? How many states have we got? And then you magnify that times 1,000. You're right. Because, you know, we got all of this crazy going on because people are not wanting to do it His way. They're wanting to do it their way. Guys, I have told you, and we have talked about this, you cannot legislate morality. You can't legislate it. You can't write a law for somebody to be nice and to be sweet and love your neighbor. You know, write a law. Congress passed it. Love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Here we go. Now they got lawsuits coming out. Who's your neighbor? What's your neighbor? What color's your neighbor? And all your neighbor. You know, it's a never-ending battle. It's people wanting to... this has been the battle from Ishmael and Isaac. Whose right is it to rule? And Yeshua's right is to rule. Amen? And that's what we believe. That's what we teach. Pastor Bill used to tell me there's only two religions in the world. Yeshua and everything else. Because everything else is wrapped up into the same thing. You know, it's either right or it's wrong. There's no reason to explain the million wrongs if it's wrong. Right or wrong? Correct. There you go. Tammy, you're trying to confuse me here. You know, last night, I got to tell this little thing. I had a rough night last night. What happened was, is here I am. I'm sleeping and I'm sleeping good. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem going to sleep. I'm sleeping solid. 1:30 in the morning, my phone rings. And I mean, and it's ringing like I got this bongo sound on my phone. My heart rate goes from 50 to 130. And I'm elevating out of the bed. I'm trying to figure out, what is this noise? What is going on? One eye's shut with matter. The other eye's open. And I'm looking at my phone. Now I'm blinded by this Apple Pro. And now I can't see, and I'm prying this eye open, and now I'm blinded in both eyes, trying to see who it is, and it's a robocall. A robocall. I don't know what robot that was, but I was looking for him. So finally, I'm sitting here, and now that I'm awake and my adrenaline is flowing, how easy is it to go back to sleep? And now, me at 61, I'm going through woman pause. So I'm sweating and I'm hot. And my wife's laying over there. She's got 3 pair of pajamas, a fur coat, and 9 blankets. And I'm looking over there and I'm laying here in my fig leaf. And so she's mounded up. There's only one thing sticking out, and it's her nose. And I touch her nose, and it's like an ice cube. I said, what is, she must have a vent piped under there or something. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, and I'm sweating. And I'm saying, this ain't right. I went from 1:30 to 3 o'clock before I finally remembered that I went back to sleep. Got up, checked the air, stood in front of the vent, trying to get air to cool off the water molecules on my body. Finally, when I got them cool, I lay down and I said, okay, I'm feeling good. And then she wants to snuggle. So I got 1,000 yards of material rolled over on top of me. And I know what Waffle House, smothered and covered. And I feel this one cold part on my shoulder. And that's where nose landed. So if I say goofy things today, it's because I didn't have a lot of sleep. Amen. So, the life at the McClendon House after dark. Amen. Okay. So with that said, 1 Peter 2, 4, 5, and then I'm going to look at verse 9. It's very important that we understand who we are in Messiah. And it's very, very, very important. And that's what, when Holisa writes these books from Creation Gospel, she uses these lampstands. I think we have, Ridge, do we have a PowerPoint of one of them? You can throw it up there. This is the one, and she shows in here again the 7 days of creation, the 7 churches or the 7 congregations in Revelation, the feast, and what was created on each day, and all the above. And then also there's a wicked lamp. And we're going to cover, hopefully if I get there, 4 verses. It'll just show you the word wicked lamp that's written in Scripture. So with this said, I just know that for all of us, we really have to evaluate. I know if I just asked everybody in here what kind of oil you got in your lamp, the right answer is the righteous oil. But we have to evaluate ourselves to the Word, not evaluate what I think you want to tell me. Because this is not a test where you're going to pass and fail for me. There's going to be a day that we stand before our King and our Creator. Then He's going to ask the question. But in that question He's going to ask, He already knows the answer. Amen? So, but we're still going to have to give an account on that day. So it doesn't matter if we've been believers for 3 days or 30 years or 80 years. People in the Scripture has the examples where they apostatize the faith. Whether it's slow fade, whether it's falling, backsliding, call it whatever you want to do, we have to check ourselves against the world because Satan is at work. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the thing about it is these principalities and powers know how to pull on our flesh. They know what you like and what you don't like, and they know what they can do to get you to sort of to manipulate. That's just what spirits do. They can do that. So we have to first of all know that we are a kingdom of priests. And we have to know that the day that the very Old Testament that people say that's done away with is so valid in our life today. Because everything there was a priesthood there and there is a priesthood today. And the same rules apply. Yeshua is that sacrifice, so we don't sacrifice chickens or brisket or anymore, okay? We don't do that. But we are to bring ourselves as living sacrifices, and we are to be obedient to His Word, okay? That's important that we know this. If you don't know this and you don't understand that there's a spiritual house, then I don't really know what I can do in the teachings to get you on board, because you have to know who you are in Him. That's very important to understand where we're headed and what we're doing. Look, guys, going to River of Life does not make you bulletproof. Going nowhere in any church on this earth makes you bulletproof. Obeying His Word is the only bulletproof that you can get. And walking out, okay? That's where it's at. We have to really understand who we are. So verse 4 in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this. As you come to Him, say, that's me. That's me. As you come to Him, that's you. That's me. a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of Elohim, chosen and precious. Guys, we're chosen and precious in His sight. But by being a believer is not popular. It's never been popular, and it's not going to ever be popular. Read the end of the book. Okay? So if we've been chosen and we are precious because He chose us and we accepted Him and we repented of our sins and we have Yeshua living on the throne of our life, that is not the end all. That's just the very now beginning of what happens in our life. So verse 5, it says, you yourselves like living stones are what? Being built up. You're not built up yet. There's a process that goes in our life. Our mind is being renewed and we're being transformed into the image of His Son. That's the being part. This is a process. So we are now living stones that are being built up as a what? A spiritual house. To be a holy priesthood. There was a priesthood and there's still a priesthood today. For those of the body of Messiah that's being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. But we have to do something. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim through Yeshua the Messiah. That's our job. He come to us. He called us. That's us. A holy priesthood, that spiritual house. Offering spiritual sacrifices is our job. Our job is not fixing air conditioners. That's just what we do. But our job is ministering to the people that we fix air conditions for. Amen. The ones that are in need is who, that's where the job is. You and your craft, that's fine. But how you minister to people's needs every day on the job, wherever you're ministering to them, that's your job. That's what we do as a spiritual house and spiritual leaders. Jump down to verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for what? For His own possession. We're no longer our own. We are His possession, so we need to act like it. That you may proclaim the excellencies, man, that's a word, of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So now you see this lamp. Now can you go to the next slide? Now the next slide, punch that thing over there, Zell. Now this is hard to see, but this is the wicked lamp. So you would know that Satan has a counterfeit to everything that Yahweh has. That's what? If there is a Messiah, then there's going to be a what? An anti-Messiah or a false Messiah. If there is a priesthood, there's going to be a false priesthood. There's going to be the beast. You see all of this stuff. Everything, because Satan can't create. All he can do is imitate. All he can do is twist. This is why, for those that are new, and we have some, and here's the deal. If the scripture says, 6 days you work, on the seventh day you rest, all Satan has to do to mess that up is to do what? Just move that one day. Move it to Friday, move it to Sunday, move it to Wednesday, it doesn't matter. You move it just one day either way. Does it make it now right or make it wrong? It makes it wrong because Yahweh didn't say move it. He never gave me the authority to move anything in His Word. Matter of fact, I don't see where He gave anybody any authority, and Yeshua didn't move anything in His Word because Yeshua was the Word made flesh. He said, I didn't come to do away with the laws and the prophets, but to bring them full of meaning. And He says, not one jot or tittle will be removed from the laws and commandments and the prophets until heaven and earth is passed away. So until heaven and earth is passed away, guys, we have a book. We have an instruction manual. We need to read it. I wish it had some pictures in it for us guys. We're better at pictures. But something we have to read and understand. We got to be patient and slow down and read this. Some of you engineers and people like that, you're really good at reading and understanding things. Me, I like pictures. But He even shows here in this scripture that He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So that ought to tell you right off the bat that there is two lights. There's a true light and there's a false light. There's a dark light. Amen? Okay, now let's go to Leviticus chapter 6. We'll start in verse 8. We were talking about oil last week. We're talking now that we have a responsibility, because I'm showing you in the New Testament, I'm showing you in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, that he calls us a priesthood. And if we're a priesthood, we sort of have to act like what? Priest. That sort of makes sense. If you're an engineer and they hire you to be an engineer, you need to act like a engineer. That's sort of way things, sort of simple. So here we're talking about the priesthood, but I want to capture something in these verses of Leviticus 6 through 13, and then we'll head on into Proverbs. Verse 8. It says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth of the altar all night until morning. This is what I want you to get. The fire of the altar shall what? Always burn. It shall be kept burning. It never is to go out. How do you keep our light burning? You better keep the oil in it. You let the oil go out. And guys, I just want to say this right here. When you let your fire go out spiritually, it is hard to get it going again. It's hard to get it lit. It's hard. Repentance, even there's repentance. We are to repent, and he will restore. He can restore. But I'm just telling you, it ain't easy. Restoration, when you play these games with him, and we're up and down and up and down. Remember, we talked about this before. You know, when I used to go on Sunday, you know, I'd cry and repent and all of that for the things I did on Friday and Saturday. And just tell him that I'm solid as a rock, if you'll forgive me. And life is good on Monday, Tuesday. Boy, Wednesday started. Man, I'm starting to, am I going to make it to Sunday without falling on Friday and Saturday again? Now, y'all look at me like y'all ain't never been there. But I'm just telling you, that's the cycle of sometimes of us playing church and being in church and not understanding who we are in him. And thinking that there's greasy grace and sloppy agape. You know, it's not, he's bringing us down to a point. You said it, Miss Jean. These trials and temptations and all of this stuff is here to move us up that mountain to a higher place. To get out of that valley and get on up that mountain where he's at. But the thing about it is, he equips us, but you can't go up there with your baggage. You know, we showed these mountain goats here on the video where how they would stand. You don't see them. That's not no donkey with saddlebags. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to carry your saddlebag stuff up that mountain. Because just like what Jeremiah said in here, he has got stuff for us way better than we can bring ourselves. What are we going to bring to him that's not better than he already has? Just leave our flesh behind and come on up that mountain. He says, I've got something for you. But sometimes there's just a few things in our life spiritually that we just don't want to let go of. And we try to drag that thing along. We're trying to drag that little old bag of luggage. Like me dragging Tammy stuff in here with all them books and everything in here. You know what I'm saying? It just gets bigger and bigger. But he's saying, don't worry about that. But he's given us, he told the priest that you put this fire on this altar. And guys, in Hebrew way of thinking, was the altar important? A little bit. Maybe like a lot of bit. Because without the altar, even the very temple itself didn't mean anything. You had to have the altars there. You had to have that first. The Father lights our fire. He comes down. He did the altar. When he consecrated the tabernacle of Moses, who lit that fire? He did. When the first temple, who lit that fire? He did. He lit that fire. He lit that fire. But he gives us a commandment. When we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he lights our fire. We have nothing. There's nothing we can do. We ain't good enough. We can't do enough alms. We can't do enough things. We can't win it, pick up jacks. We can't do all that stuff to be able to enter into the kingdom. It is strictly by the Holy Spirit convicts us that we're a sinner and we need a Savior, and he lights our fire. But once he lights our fire, guess what? I got to keep it going. Now, he says, get in this Word. You read the Torah and you have the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you. Fivefold ministry is going to help lead you. And the thing is if you're not reading and studying this every day, whatever you're putting in you every day is the oil that's going into your system spiritually. It is. We're spiritual beings. Spirit, soul, and we live in an earth suit. That's what happens. But our soul is what's at war with this flesh. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do. The soul just says, you know what? But if you don't get this Word in you to where you can have the Holy Spirit to convict you to not to do wrong, guess what you will do wrong? We'll do it again, and we'll repent, and we'll do it again. How many times have we said this? We said this many times. The first time you do something, we can say that it's a mistake. The second time you do it, it's a choice. And the third time you do it, it's a choice. It becomes a habit. And then it becomes practicing, and it says people who practice sin will not enter into the kingdom. How in the world did I do that? I need these glasses. There we go. Y'all, somebody praying for me. I hung up my tallit. But it is. I know. It's that lack of sleep. Amen. So what happens is we have a responsibility to keep it burning. Verse 10, and the priest shall put on his linen garments and put his linen undergarments on his body. Even we have a, I'm not going to teach on garments, that's a teaching in itself. But we should look different when we get saved. We should change our rags. It says our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. We need to get those off of us, and we need to allow him to put on his righteousness, which is the garments he has for us. There's a garment change that happens. Verse 11. And then he says, then he shall take off the garments after he does his priestly. Then he took those garments off and he put on other garments and he carried the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. Verse 12 and 13 is where I wanted us to get to on this portion. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. Now, I know we're talking about different offerings here, but remember what I said in Peter? We are to bring spiritual offerings. The offerings never cease. We are to do this. We're not going to be bringing something because they don't have a temple here. But if they did, we would, because that would be the commandment. But we are to bring our spiritual offerings to him to do what he asks us to do. And in verse 13, he says, the fire shall be kept burning on the altar. How long? Continually. It shall not go out. So now let's go to Proverbs 16. Now we're going to get into the wicked lamp. I'm sorry, 6. Yeah, Proverbs 6. What it is 6:16 is where I need you to go. Starting verse 16, these are the 6 things that Yahweh hates. 7 are an abomination to him. I just want to let you in on a little secret. All 7 are an abomination. Okay, all 7 are abomination. So let's look at these 7. I want us to take inventory. I don't want us to look at our neighbor. I don't want Tammy looking at me because I didn't get a lot of good sleep last night. I don't want us looking at each other. I want us looking at ourselves. Because this is the time. These are times of testing and trials. All hell's breaking loose all over this planet. From wars, rumors of wars, and I'm telling you, we already know this. We've been teaching this for a long time. There's 4 altar judgments. There's sword, there's pestilence, there's famine, and there's wild beast. And Yahweh uses them all the time. So whether you've seen in the Middle East, it's been on fire with the sword for I don't know how long. They're fighting and killing and chopping heads off. They're doing it in Africa. You know, you have these groups that are doing it there. You have all of this happening. You've had this COVID situation that's happening. You've had famine. You had locusts in Kenya. You've had all of these things happening. Now they're really rolling. We're in a period right now within these few years. There's a lot of things back to back to back to back. Okay? We need to understand what the Father's trying to do here. I don't want to jump ahead. So we need to evaluate ourselves and where we are in this. Okay, verse 17. First one, haughty eyes. a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Now, I thought this was, I'm going to stop right there for a minute because I want to go slow here. Okay? Just bear with me. This is important. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. I just want to say this. Out of the seven, four of them deal with our speech and our tongue. So that means the majority of the wicked lamp comes out of this tongue, comes out of our heart, comes out of our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So usually what that means is, it usually means when you hit, this is my definition, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is when you hit your thumb with a hammer full blast, what do you say? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. That's what needs to come out of there, okay? I'm just saying, what does it mean? When you're under pressure, what comes out? That's what's in the heart. Flattery comes out when there's no pressure. Flattery can come out when you want to get something. Like, if there's something I see that I really feel led to buy, and then I have to talk to my wife about, is it okay? Is it in the budget? So, what am I going to be using? The abundance of the heart or flattery? Yeah, whose side y'all on? But I'm just telling you, that's what we do. That's what happens. That's right. Buy her more blankets. Turn the air down. But here's the thing. I'm just saying, guys, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now, this is why this makes sense of this wicked lamp. Because whenever people now are saying, we need to get rid of statues of white Jesus, white Yeshua, they say that. Because, am I? Now, they may be shocked that he's Jewish. But if they knew he was Jewish, they might have already got rid of him a long time ago. Because the Jews have been trying to do it for a long time. But I'm just talking about how people don't think when they're wanting to do what they want to do. But you know, there's so much pressure that when people come up to you and they'll say this matters or that matters or whatever matters, if you don't say what they want you to say, they're putting pressure on you because you're anti this or anti that. Like, you don't care. You don't matter. That's right. This matters, that matters, and you don't matter. This is where we're at, because what happens is when you're confronted, what do you do? What do you say? See, my thing is this. It ain't about me. It's about him. See, when I stand up here, I'm a minister. I'm a pastor. I didn't ask for this job. He did choose me. I understand that. I don't know why he did. But he did, because I'm not one of these that's polished and all of the above. But he chose me, and I'm good with it, and I enjoy it. But here's the thing. The thing is, and I know he knows what he's doing. There has to be humor in it, but I know he knows, and maybe that day he'll tell me why. But until that day, really and truly, we have to get to a place to where it's not my opinion. If homosexuality is a sin and an abomination, just like these things of our tongue is abomination, and they're going to say, well, you can't say that because the Supreme Court says you can't say that. What do you mean? I can't say that. Well, guess what? Take him to court. He wrote it. Why you want to take me to court? He's the one. I'm just doing what he says to do. You want to call him? Because that's really what you're doing. If you're coming against, this is what they did when they came against Moses. When they came against Moses, because we just went through this thing of Korah, right? Korah and the rebellion. That's what it was about. Korah came up there to Moses and said, Moses, I think you got a scam going. It's you, your brother, your sister. It's a family thing. It's a family ministry you got going on here. And they were all family. But who chose that family? He did. So guess what? You don't argue with him choosing and equipping. He chose David. Did David make mistakes? Absolutely. Committed adultery. Had a guy killed. But he repented and he had a contrite heart. But yet it cost him, guess what it cost him? All his other sons, except one, Solomon. And he could not build the temple. So you see all of these things that even though there's repentance, this is why I'm telling you, when the young people, hear me please. Would you just please hear me? You see these gray hairs, what I got left, it ain't falling out. Understand this. When you get a fire going in your life, if you let this thing go out, it is hard when you're in your 20s and your 30s, when you got the world enticing you and it's easy to follow. It's not easy to be the one to stand up and say, you know what, that's not right. Because you may be the only flickering bright light of all of these false lights going off. It is a huge responsibility for us in our life where we're at right now. So I thought about this. In that verse in 17, it says, "And hands that shed innocent blood." Now, hold your place. Well, you don't have to hold your place there, because go to Proverbs 18. Because I can see I'm not going to get where I wanted to go. Because I got to spend some time here. All right, in Proverbs 18, 21, you guys know this verse. It says, death and life in what? In the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Whatever you love, you're going to eat the fruit of it. So I wanted to go back. Let's go back to, or you can hold your finger there, but Proverbs 6, 17. Do you know that the word there, hands that shed innocent blood, is the same Hebrew word, yad, is the same word as power? So hands and power, tongues and hands, power. It shows you that I believe that at least four out of the seven that's in this dark lamp, this wicked lamp, has to do with the tongue, because guess what? The scripture says death and life are in the power or the hand of the tongue. Our tongue can heal and it can destroy. It can bring, it can gather and it can separate. That's why it's important, and the Father is bringing these testings to us to know what's going to happen. What am I going to say under pressure? Am I going to lie? Just a little bit. They used to call them, it's a racist thing to call it a white lie. Why they want it? But think about it in a way. A white lie. What does a white lie mean? Do you know why they're really saying white lie? Because it means, white lie means it's okay, because they put the word white on it. I'm just telling you, that's what it means. A pure lie, but don't say that. That's too harsh. You liar. Who wants to be called a liar? Well, if you lie, guess what you are? A liar. But yet, I really didn't mean to. It was a white lie. I just let somebody draw the wrong conclusion. Oh, that makes it great. You know the reason why we're real quiet? Because this is the way we operate. Is it not? Is this not the way we operate? The Father's trying to tell us, if we're going to make it in Revelation, if we're going to make it when all hell breaks loose, you better know what you believe. And your tongue's got to line up with your feet. Because guess what? When it all comes down and when the pressure is on, your mouth will line up with your feet. It'll be fight or flight. I'm just telling you, that's what's going to happen. You see what I mean? This is why I want us all to take inventory. Because look, I know I'm meddling now, but that's okay. Well, here's the reason why. Because it's important. It's just this important life. How many of us in here, I know there's probably two or three in here that does not mind hurting somebody else's feelings, bar you guys, okay? Most of the people in here, that's right, we know who you are, just don't mind hurting somebody's feelings. Just come out there and just jerk the rug out and say, I hope I didn't hurt you. But the thing is, but most people don't really want to hurt somebody else's feelings. So when somebody does wrong, they come to me to go talk to them. I'm saying, I don't have an offense with them. Yeah, but I do. Well, then you need to go. The scripture says, if you leave your gift and you come back. That's one of the scriptures. Well, you know, that's the way it happens. And then what I'll do, if it's a lady involved, I'll say, Tammy, you need to go do it because I ain't dealing with the ladies. So I throw it on her shoulders. Because I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Look, guys, most of us, we are people, we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. But sometimes the truth hurts. But guess what? Sometimes, you know what? When you do wrong, when I was a kid, a spanking hurt. But it was to do something in me. It was to clear my conscience and to drive the foolishness from me. And I got a lot of spankings. And I deserved every one of them except one. And that day I got a spanking because she said, go get a switch. I said, I didn't do nothing wrong. She said, look, I didn't catch you doing nothing wrong today. So you did something wrong. I got a whooping anyway. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, but I appreciate, but you know what? I am who I am today because of the discipline that was in my life when I was young. Because I didn't get her. I was mischievous. I was. I just confess that now that all my brothers and sisters are not here. But no, but really and truly, I was. I was the baby. I mean, I had a brother 12 years older. My sister's 10 years older. I was like a firstborn. You know, and mom and dad was older. They treated me like grandparents. You know what I'm saying? Like I was a grandson or something. And the thing is, but who I stayed with, Miss Martin, who was my babysitter, since I was a year old till I was 13, she said, I don't care who you are. I don't care what birth order you was in. You just one of the five or six that I'm babysitting, and you don't rank here. And believe me, but you know what? Her discipline in my life molded me and helped make me who I am today. And I appreciate that. That lady lived to 101 years old. Lived to 101 years old. She has some good DNA. You hear me? But I'm going to tell you, she lived long, I think, because she knew how to whoop people and not let them by with stuff that they weren't supposed to get by with. I think that's why she was good. Because you know what? I don't know. You will not hear one person. I named her Mimi because I couldn't say Miss Martin. So I called her Mimi because I was there when I was like 6 months old. Because my mom and them, we were poor. You know, she had to work at the factory, you know, just like a Hebrew woman, give a baby and get back to work. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't. You just didn't have a lot of time to recuperate. Worked up there at that garment factory up in town. Daddy worked. But the thing about it is out of all the people, and she kept a lot of people, and nobody had a cross word to say about her all these years. She was amazing, amazing lady. Where am I at? Hands that shed innocent blood. What I'm trying to say here is this. I'm going to shut it down right here. It is important that we have to know that if there's power in the tongue, I'm not going to read this one, but you can read it. Do I have Matthew up there? No, I didn't. I don't know how I didn't do. Okay, Matthew 5, really it talked about, Yeshua was talking about the tongue and talking about how he was telling them of what they say. If you say you're good for nothing, you'll go before the Supreme Court, which is the Sanhedrin. If you tell somebody they're a fool, it says you'll be guilty of hellfire. And he goes on. He's referring back to it's important what we say. And that our mouth and our feet line up. That we are not accusing our brother. Now he's talking. I'm just throwing it out here. Yeshua is talking in the book of Matthew. And sort of who do you think he's talking to? Believers? Or people who believe? He's not talking to heathen. So it shows you that in the body of Messiah, it's not too far-fetched to think that there's a lot of sowing of discord, there's a lot of backbiting, there's a lot of haughty eyes, there's a lot of tearing down in the body of Messiah. And the Father is saying, if we are a spiritual house, and if we tear one another down, what are we doing? We're tearing down His spiritual house. And He ain't happy. Papa ain't happy. That's what this is about. We need to check what oil is in our lamps. This is not for somebody to say, well, you know what I heard somebody say. Forget what you heard somebody say. You concentrate on what you're doing. Doug did a fantastic teaching. Remember we had these little boards up here? He put a board. And he said, this is a board. And then he put, and this is, if you had an offense, if you had an offense against somebody, in other words, I don't like them because they don't like me or whatever, you know, they eat my chicken sandwich, I don't know. You got an offense, so boom, you stick a board. Then what did he do? There was another one, stuck another board. Next thing you knew, every one of these offenses created what? A fence, an offense. It created a fence. That's what happens in our life. When we have all of these little things, we're at alt in all of these little areas of our life. Next thing you know, we got this big fence built up. And the thing about it is Yahweh is going to give you the opportunity to take down one board at a time before He brings a hurricane in your life down and blow them all down. And then have you to clean up the mess. So this is where we're at in this day and time. We have to examine ourselves. Look, we do this before we go into feasts and festivals. But guys, we better do this now, because what the Father, there is a horse riding out of these four horsemen in Revelation. There's a horse riding today. And there's things happening in this land today. It's always first the natural, then the spiritual. But what's happening in the natural is showing the body of Messiah where you are in the spiritual. If there's chaos in the natural, I promise you, in the body of Messiah, there's chaos. And He's trying to reveal that in our life to where we will shore up what we need to shore. If you have an offense with somebody, and that's what the Scripture says in Matthew, if there's somebody that you know, it says what? When you bring your offering, is that New Testament? So there's still offerings that we bring. We bring ourselves and we bring what we do. If we bring our offering before Him, and it says if you realize that you have aught, or somebody has aught against you, then what did He say to do with that offering? Leave it, and then you go and reconcile. Do you know that reconciliation is more important than that offering? Do you know the reason why that reconciliation is more important than that offering? It's because the spiritual house is divided. What good is an offering if the house is in shambles? And this is what He's trying to do. He's trying to bring His house together. He's trying to bring His house together for us. Forget denominations. There's no holding pins in the kingdom of Elohim. There's not a Church of Christ holding pen and a Methodist holding pen and a Hebrew Roots holding pen and all that. You know what I'm saying? That's not there. We're all the body of Messiah. Amen? We're all the body of Messiah. We've got to do it by this book. Here's the thing. I can't worry about the person down the street if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I have to be doing what I know to do first. How can I help him if I can't even help myself? What does it say? Something about one guy leading both of them in a ditch? You know, that's what really we do. We need to take inventory, because pressure is here. And I promise you, the pressure is going to get harder. And when the pressure gets harder, out of the abundance of the heart, I promise you, then your mouth is going to line up with our feet. That's how important this time and season we're in, is that we need to really realize and recognize. I'll close with this little piece. Out of the seven, four of them deal with the tongue. I want us this week to evaluate, what are we saying? What's coming out of our mouth when we're under pressure? Are we flattering people? When somebody comes and they asked us a question, are we afraid to tell them the truth? And we just going to allow them to draw the wrong conclusion because we don't want to hurt their feelings or whatever? I tell you, I know it's not right. Whenever, if one of the wives says, "How do I look in this?" That's a dangerous question. You better know you're confident in yourself if you're going to get it, because I'm asking the husbands to be honest. Did I just say that? But do you not want an honest? Yeah, you want it. You do want it. But do you really want it? That's all I'm saying. Wives in this, I'm just being fair. There's nothing wrong if you want to just say, "Flatter me. How do I look? You are a babe. You look good." What did she say? "Flatter me." Flatter her. That's what she asked. But how does it really make me look? You just need to have enough intestinal fortitude to take the answer if you're going to ask the question. Because really and truly, I understand. I mean, when Tammy's asking me, really, she'll ask because, does this match? Does this whatever? I mean, I know she's asking, how's my bangs or whatever? How's my color? Is there some roots showing or whatever? Okay, so we go through all of that. You can't edit that either. So anyway, so we go through this. Okay, we go through this. But she really wants to know. And we've been married long enough that I can tell her the truth because she wants to know. But there's sometimes she will ask me. And I do know that she wants to... flattering. Wants to look good. Wants to look good. Yeah. And the thing about it is, I can't. See, I'm... Now, some of you prophet mentalities, you need counsel here. Okay? Because you got to understand, sometimes, I mean... what I wear and what she wears, or what my taste is and what your taste, or what my taste and, maybe what somebody else's taste is different. I mean, I am out of my comfort zone because I got stripes on a shirt. I usually wear a solid shirt. Amen. I don't know how I got this striped one. It just showed up. Maybe it's plaid? Okay, plaid. I'm sorry. So it's plaid. It must have been like in Jacob and them goats. You know, he had some speckled, and so I got some of these. But anyway, why am I wearing this today? Anybody want to guess why I'm wearing this today? Tammy. Y'all got the right answer. Y'all know. Because she's in a little bit of green, a little bit of black. And I'm great with that. I'm good with that. Because I don't want to clash. You know what I'm saying? She will tell you, when I used to go get my clothes... when I was a bachelor many years ago, and I can't remember that, believe it or not, I would go in the store. How did I pick out my clothes? What was on the mannequin? It's what we do. That dude looked good on that mannequin. And if it looked good on him, it's got to look good on me. Because they wouldn't have put it on the mannequin if it wasn't looking good. So most people would have to know that that's what people like. So I would, what? Can I help you? Yeah, I just take the mannequin. Just give me what's on the mannequin. What size are you? I did that. Matter of fact, me and Jeremiah went in there. I got my little gray Converse tennis shoes. Where was it at? On the mannequin. Man, it looked good. I said, pull that dude off that mannequin, because that was the only pair they had, and it fit me. So I'm just saying, that was me in my life. What I'm trying to say is this, guys, and I know we... huh? Now we go to the clearance rack. That's right. But here's what I'm trying to say, though. We're having fun, but I'm just saying, when we're asked questions, this is important. What do we respond? It has to be the truth. It has to be nothing but the truth. So help me, Elohim. In love. That's right, in love. But people have to also understand, if you're going to ask the question, you got to be big enough to take the answer. Because you got to understand taste and all of these things play into certain things, there's no doubt. But ladies, please, if you really don't want to know what this looks like, just say, flatter me. Just put that word in there, and it gives us guys an out. Okay? It gives us guys an out to be able to do what we do best. Flatter you. Amen? Because we really want you to feel good about yourself and all of that. But they are some things, you know, some people like cowboy boots, and that's all they'll wear. But and I'm great with that. Amen? I used to have a pair. I don't know what happened. I think somebody rode off with my horse and my boots. I don't know. But anyway. All right. Let's pray. The glory of